past that. And we've acknowledged that we all carry stuff, including me. I carry stuff. And I'm hoping I've got rid of it by now. And I know that just as I walk out the door and I think I'm cool, God's going to say, what about this, Mark? And then, of course, we get to get rid of the stuff that we carry. We don't have to carry on all the time holding it. And sometimes, you know, let me just, these are not heaven and hell issues. It's all about the journey, but it'll help you have a wonderful, enjoyable journey. I mean, who wants to go on a trip or a journey and you're miserable all the way? Even when you don't know you're miserable. Don't put up your hand because you're going to need some serious prayer. But some of the stuff we've said is a stronghold in our life. And we said that a stronghold is something that holds onto you and keeps you a prisoner. And that stuff is the stuff we want to get rid of. Amen? Are we? Yeah, we're up there. Okay. And so this morning, where am I? First of all, before we want to go, I want to tell you about a story. Who likes stories? So a guy goes into a pet shop. Some of you might have heard it. And he sees the guy's got a parrot in the pet shop. And the guy's looking around. And he's looking at different things. And the parrot says, hey, you! He says, me? He says, yeah, come here. Parrot, listen, it's my story. So he goes, a very clever parrot, comes from South Africa. Can speak three languages. Yeah, komiso buti. And in Zulu, busila manje, kajima. This means, come on over, hurry. Okay, any other thing? Canadian? Hey. Come over. Okay, all right, come on. You're wasting my time. So the parrot says, come over. So the guy goes over and the parrot looks at him and says to him, do you know that you're ugly? And the guy's offended. He's so upset. He goes to the pet store. He says, what kind of parrot have you got here? You know, it offended me and it told me that I'm ugly and everything. So the guy says, that is not good. So he goes over to the parrot and he tweaks his beak and plucks the feather out and snaps and says, don't naughty parrot. And the guy leaves the pet shop. He doesn't buy anything. A week later, the guy walks back into the parrot shop. Parrot says, hey, you! And the guy goes over and he says, what? And the parrot looks and he says, you know what? And I tell you that story because that's what the enemy is like sometimes. He just comes along in a subtle way. He just looks at us and he says, you know what? And we have to learn to go, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Then Kevin said, we have an advocate before the Father who intercedes for us. And we are righteous. And we're standing in the glory of God. And we are walking in that liberty. And we're walking in that freedom. And we don't need any parrot to be telling us, you know what? Thank you. What I call is that is the enemy's counterattack. And I haven't even told you what we're preaching on today, have I? Okay. So what I want us to talk about today is living free. We want to live free. We don't want to be drawn in by that parrot. You know what? We don't want that. We want to live free in Jesus Christ. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, please. And if you've never heard it before, we're going to Luke in the Buke. I know. Obviously, it's tired. Once we are free, we have to stay free. We want to live free. So let's look at Luke chapter 11. And we don't want to know. And so this parrot brings this counterattack. We know the enemy is going to come. If you think he's not going to come for you, you put yourself above Jesus. Because if you look, I think it might be in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus, when he gets tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he keeps saying to the enemy, to the devil, it is written. What does the scripture say? It says, and he left him alone until another time. The enemy might leave you alone now, but not until another time comes. And so we need to be aware. Anyway, taking too long. Luke chapter 11, 24. When the unclean spirit had gone out of a person, it passes through the waterless places or the dry places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house. from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. That was part of when we said last week, we have to fill the void. We clean out, get dumped the stuff, we've got to fill the void. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. We have a duty, a diligence to make sure. And we have to look at the context of what's being said, and you go back to the beginning of chapter 11, and you see reading through, and he talks about a father and a son, and he says, and if we are so good or so evil and know how to give good things to our sons, if we ask, what does the Father give us? Gifts and talents and houses and cars? No, Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus talks about if you're given the name of Jesus and you're given the name of Beelzebul, it says, and et cetera, et cetera. And then it gets to this little passage and he tells about the parable there. And so we need to know that there is a spiritual battle. If you look at verse 23, it says, whoever is not with me is against me. Well, I'm sort of for Jesus. No, you're not sort of for Jesus. You're either with Jesus or you're not with Jesus. That is clear. There's empirical truth that the Bible says. And whosoever does not gather with me scatters. And we don't want to be part of that. We need to remain free once we have dumped our stuff, once we have cleaned the house, which we hopefully we did last week and we're going to do some more this week. We keep it clean, and as I said last, we need to fill the void. And we find that this unclean spirit wants to come back. And it says, we need. How do we do it? I gave you three things last week. You obey God's word, be obedient to his word by prayer. And this week, we want to hone in towards the end of the service on the Holy Spirit. Proverbs, slow down. Okay, I'm so excited. I'm just... On your marks. Get set. Come on, let's go. Proverbs 26, verse 11. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Those are unkind words. Well, the Bible's trying to help us with some stuff. Trying to show us. Don't keep going. And so we have what we call a world cycle. Oh, Mark, you make pretty pictures. The number first thing in that world cycle is we want to fight for freedom. We want to be free. We want to live free. Amen? Yes? We all want freedom in some shape or form. We want to be free for the sake of freedom. And when you want that freedom, you will fight for it. Once you identify what it is, by nature, in it, nature inside of you, you will want to fight for that freedom. I don't want to be bound by this. I want to fight for that. I don't want to do this. I want to fight for that. Whatever you fight for in one way, we will accomplish it in freedom. Canada was founded on men and women looking for freedom who crossed the oceans and came here and settled here. And when I think about it, I think much of my heritage of the Boers and traveling over the mountains and going to look for places and pioneering. They did not have to deal with minus 20, minus 30. Amazing, amazing people. And they came, and when we have found the freedom, freedom, when we have found it, produces in us prosperity. And we get to live in the prosperity, and we go to develop it, produces prosperity. Sadly, though, once we get into prosperity, and I'm not talking about name it and claim it and all that kind of unbiblical stuff. I'm just talking about we're living in prosperity. We live in prosperity in Canada, right? It's one of the top countries to live in the world. It's amazing. We have the freedom. Unfortunately, once we receive that prosperity, we don't know how to handle it. Go and listen to see the stories, and I know I'm just going back to finances now. You get people who win the lotto or win the whatever and what they do with their lives, and you know, millions and millions, they just fritter away and then they're back to where they are. And they are in a worse state than they were in the beginning. You could think, well, that's impossible. No, go and read some of the stories. Don't know how to, two things that creep in when we find this prosperity. We've got the freedom, we now got the prosperity, and there's two things that creep in. Number one is called arrogance. And the other one is called complacency. We think, well, we've won the battle now. We've got the freedom. I'm now living in prosperity. I can set my blessed assurance and everything will just happen around me. No, we have to keep on because the enemy's coming back at another time. And we get complacent, and with our complacency, we get arrogant. And I know we have to stay humble, and I'm just getting along this quite quickly now. Now we tell on how this anymore. We can't tell about the freedom. We can't tell about the prosperity because once we get to that complacency and arrogance, we complete the cycle. We get back into bondage. And we've got to complete the cycle all over again. We start, well, how did I get here? Lord, help me. How did I get here? You know what? You know what? That's how we got there. I pray that once we complete this series, when we complete it, and that it continues as a burning thing inside of you, because, you know, we can keep on for the next 3 years doing the series, helping get rid of stuff and dropping off and getting rid of it and going forward. But you know, it wasn't, you think, well, is this just a new idea you have here, Mark? No. Is this just for us today? No. Let me tell you about another group of people that lived like this. We know them as the Galatians. Paul had gone and planted these four churches in Galatia, and then he had to write this letter to them to help them. We think, well, weren't they a perfect church? No. You should go, amen, hallelujah. So he devoted this book called Galatians to teach them how to stay free. We a little while ago, we did the whole series on freedom, you know, stay free. They were free and prospering, but they went back into bondage. So what happened here is that when Jesus arrived on planet Earth, and he arrived, they were like, man, this is so cool. And they were, the Jews were so excited. Well, some of them were excited. Man, this is Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the Lamb of the world. They got there. And they were like, we don't have to kill Larry the Lamb. We can keep it as a pet now. Never name your pet that you're going to eat. And they had Larry the Lamb, and they kept Larry the Lamb, and they were so excited, and we're all in freedom. And then the Gentiles were included, and the Gentiles said, man, this is excited, this guy Jesus, we're included. And with the dividing wall is broken down, and we have entrance to the Father. Freedom, living in prosperity. And then the Jews got smart and said, oh, by the way, Regulation 101 to be a member of this church, all you Gentiles, you need to get circumcised. And they say, what? Back into bondage again. Back under the law. Back into this whole cycle again. Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Someone read that this morning. Do not submit again to your bondage. Do not pick up those bags. Do not be burdened once again with the slavery under a yoke. We want to stay free. We do not want to repeat the cycle. So how do we live free? Number one, we have to live in humility. The top killer for destroying humility is arrogance and pride. All of us have a propensity somewhere along the line for arrogance and pride. My story, when I got saved, and they used to do these altar calls all the time, and people would go forward and they'd go up, and I was like, God, you know what? I have this issue, and I'm just going to stay here in my seat, and you can come fix me. I thought I was being clever. So I don't have to go to the front. No, it's true. I don't have to become humble in front of the rest of the church. I can sit here and I can demand of the Creator of the universe, the one who spoke and it was, the one who breathed breath and there was life, and me, now God, you come to me. I don't need to come to you. That's called arrogance and pride. And so I used to sit there. And people would go, and Holy Spirit would touch them, and I would wait. And once here, one day, I got it. Okay? It wasn't like I needed to go to the front. I needed to submit myself to God. Because I was saying, now you come to me. The highest authority in our land, the Prime Minister, Mr. Harper, he comes and he sits on the stage here. He says, I want to talk to you, and you're sitting out there. You're going to go, sorry, you come here, I'm sitting here. No, I think we're going to get up and come to him. How about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the earth, the majestic, amazing Father? I think we should do everything we can to him. And the beauty is of, because of the cross, he tore the curtain and made the way for us to come. We come in humility. Don't worry about me. I can sort myself out. When we place ourselves above someone else, it's the first step to the downward spiral of arrogance. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. 16:18, pride goes before this destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I think that's enough. Eh? Do I need to say anything? Do I need to expand that? 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may exalt you. You want to be exalted in his sight? There's a guy called Roy Stockstill, he's a pastor. He says, a man on his face can never fall from that position. A man on his face can never fall from that position. On my very best day, on the day that I am firing on all cylinders, the anointing is flowing in greater measure. Everybody in front of me, if I did this, you all fell over. On my greatest day, should that ever happen, I need God more than anything else. And you should have the same attitude towards him in that. There's things that go, he says to us this, he says, we have to understand that there's two things. God initiates one, and I initiate the other. The one is that I humble myself, or he will humble me. One God initiates, one I initiate. I want to be the initiator. How about you? You want to be the initiator? It says there in Psalm 51, is it up? Have mercy on me, this is David, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Come in humbleness, come in humility. Everything comes from God's gracious hand, and he will lift us up. Go and study David if you want, and you'll see. Shepherd boy, king, leading nations, still needed God, even on his best day. Our second thing is honesty. Honesty with ourselves, not just honesty, integrity in business, but honesty with ourselves. Look at yourself in the mirror. I look at myself in the mirror, and I say, God, I need you. When you are tempted, when you feel weak, and you say, and you see the stuff you left behind sitting in your living room. Of going on from last week's sermon, anybody arrive home and this week find the stuff that you dumped here sitting in your living room, or sitting in your bedroom, or sitting in your study, or somewhere in your house, you're going, how'd that get there? I thought I dumped it at church. Remember, we said the enemy is so kind, he's so gracious, he thought, shame, you left this behind, let me take it home for you. Yeah. And instead of going, what's that thing in the house? We actually pick it up and say, oh, look what the enemy left for me. I'm so privileged. When we are tempted and feel weak, when the enemy looks at you and says, you know what? You know what? He doesn't have to explain anymore because inside your heart, you know what? And go home now and say, Mark said I'm ugly. That's not what I'm saying at all. There was a story. simply be honest with ourselves. That's last week's prayer. We need to dial a buddy. Pick up the phone. Speak to somebody. Skype somebody. Run next door. If you see the stuff in your living room, kick it out. Get someone else to come and take it out. Don't touch it. Don't pick it up. Leave it alone. Husbands, let your wife pick it up. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Wives, let your husbands pick it up. No, I'm joking. Leave it alone. Get someone else to come and pick it up and get rid of it for you. Say, listen, there's some ugly garbage sitting in my house. I don't want to touch it. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not even going inside the house. I'm staying outside until it's cleared. Get a buddy. Call a buddy. Proverbs 24:16. For the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. At least when we fall, it's not so much about falling. The point is not so many times you fall, but when you get up. I mean, if I asked you to put your hands up across the thing and say, how many times have you fallen? You're all going to put your hands up. I'm going to say, how many of you stood up again? You're going to put your hands up. Some of you might say, no, I'm not so sure about that. I'm just going to leave my hand down now. No, get back up. Get back on the horse, as the old saying would go. So that the stuff doesn't come back into your life. John 1:9. Are we there? 1 John 1:9. For if we confess our sins, buddy to buddy, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. I don't have issues. I don't got stuff. No, you've got stuff. I'm tempted to tell you to turn to somebody and say, you've got stuff. Not I've got stuff. You've got stuff. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. One is individual, the one is congregational. Get together, pray with one another, lift each other up. Don't spend time gossiping. Don't spend time pulling things down, saying, I've got stuff. It's about me right now and I need the stuff gone. I need to have a buddy. I need to someone I can speak to. The biggest lie where you tell yourself lives out of your actions. I can deal with this myself. Don't put your hands up, I know. Humility and honesty will lead us to where I really want to get. Third one, Holy Spirit. We not only need the power of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, you want the power, I want the feeling, I want to fall down, I want to cry, I want to shake, I want to rock and roll. That's secondary. Well, isn't that it? No. We need the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what we need. No one in this room, which means me and the pastors and the deacons and everybody, no one in this room can maintain this by ourselves. It is a supernatural power of work. Yeah. 2 Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians, what is it? 2 Corinthians 14, 13 and 14. Yeah. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The intimate presence, the intimate friendship, the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. Separate entity, God, Father, Jesus, Son, Holy Spirit, not pieces of the egg. You know, people try and describe it. It's like, well, you know, it's like the eggshell and the yolk and what's the egg white, the albumen of the egg. You know, it's all like, no, it's three separate. Too much detail. Holy Spirit. You, however, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Wow. I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, you have. You just maybe didn't get it. Because the minute you give your life to Jesus, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. And we know later on there is or other infillings of the Holy Spirit. But once you give your life to Jesus, you are filled. Holy Spirit, breath of God lives in you. The one who comes and guides and leads you into truth. The Parakletos, the encourager, the uplifter, the comforter. Holy Spirit. Our first e-grace value is to encounter God, encounter His Spirit. We can read more about the encounters of His Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord there is freedom. We have to believe that this is not in the natural, this is in the supernatural. We have to transcend our brains into the heavenly places where we are seated. You go, Mark, that sounds so much rambling. I don't know. No, it's good Bible. I know some of people are a little bit skeptical and have seen people go weird and out of control with regards to Holy Spirit and movement of Holy Spirit. Let me just say this. When people shake, rattle and roll, fall down, do whatever they do, that's not Holy Spirit. That is the manifestation and the work of the Holy Spirit. Which means you don't have to fall down and shake and roll and rattle and cry and laugh. That is the working of the Holy Spirit in you. I remember when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I felt like a hand was pulling me onto the floor, and I lay there and I was stuck there for like an hour. I was there for like, I don't know, 10 minutes. I thought, oh, I'm going to get up now. No, Holy Spirit working on me. People said to me, what's going on? I said, I don't know. I feel like I'm in an operating theater. We went to a conference once. And eventually, I don't know if Bridget was irritated with me or she just wanted to know. Every time we worshipped, I wept. I cried. For a week, for 3 sessions a day, I'm the... She says, what's wrong with you? Eventually, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know. Holy Spirit operating in me, healing stuff inside of me, fixing stuff inside of me that needed to be fixed. Because of all that, though, we can't ignore Him. He's part of the Godhead, the part that gives us life. Just for time's sake, Genesis 32:24. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then he said to him, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. Just closing with a little story about Jacob and understanding. Jacob was on a journey like us. And Jacob was carrying stuff like us. The name Jacob means supplanter, the one who wants to replace someone, or deceiver. That's what it means. How'd you like to have a name like that? Israel says triumphant with God, and it prevails with God. Peniel means face to face or facing God. I'm just telling you all this because it's all wrapped up in the story. To bless him. Well, just bless you, my son, go off. No, no, it meant to bring joy to him. It brought joy to Jacob's life, to Israel's life. What we need is humility and honesty, daily Holy Spirit encounters. We should wake up, like I said last, wake up and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Someone wrote a book like that, Benny Hinn, said, good morning, Holy Spirit. What is it that you have for me today? That's how we should start our day. So what is the lesson that we get from this, just in closing? Number one, Jacob was given new strength. He was given new strength. Did you ever think or thought, I'm sure you have, why God touched his hip, put his hip out of joint? I know you asked, so I'm going to tell you. The thigh muscle is one of the strongest muscles in the body. And it helps you to walk and be active, because without that thigh muscle, you are fairly inactive. And so what actually happened here is that we have this strongest muscle that we rely on heavily, our own natural strength. And God was coming along and he wrestled with him and he prevailed with God. And he actually eventually said to him, he said, ding. I'm sure it wasn't like the big drum. I'm sure it was just like, ding, touched his hip. And what he's saying is, don't try and walk in your strength. Don't try and be what you think you should be in your own strength. I have a strength that I will give you. It's called the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to show you, Jacob, Israel, you can walk with a limp for the rest of your life, but you will remember and know that you're walking in my natural, supernatural strength, my supernatural divine favor upon your life. And he's saying, don't rely on your abilities. Don't rely on your gift. But I'm so gifted, I'm so talented, I'm so degreed, I'm so this, I'm so that, I'm so the other. God doesn't really care too much. He wants you to know that, Jesus, on my very best day, I rely on you, God. Saying, you cannot walk through life without me. Is that scripture up there? Yeah. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Holy Spirit wants to take all that junk, take all that stuff, deliver us from that stuff, and we walk in His name, in His power, walking as one who's been face to face with God, Peniel, seeing God in His trueness. The second thing He gives us is a new identity and a new name. He gave Jacob a new identity and a new name. He called him Israel. You know, whenever we see major encounters of God changes people's names. Abraham, Abraham. Saul became Paul. Simon became Peter. Jacob became Israel. It's all for a reason that God does that. We have bought into the identity about ourselves that is not true. We bought into the you know what. And people come, you know what? Oh, I feel destroyed. I feel humiliated. I feel offended. I feel, the Father's saying, you don't have to rely on you know what. Saying, you rely on me, I give you a new name. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We've labored this point many times. Not a fixed up, not a new valve or a new pop, a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The last one. He's given us a new joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. Will the musos please come up? Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Don't worry about putting your books and Bibles and things away. I just want us to go, just forget about everybody around you. Let's just come before Him now. I want Holy Spirit to touch your lives this morning. And any junk that you might have picked up and carried, or even last week you dumped and somehow you picked it up again, I want you to say, as we said last week, there's a line being drawn in the sand. The actual fact it was drawn on the cross. And Jesus says, it is finished. There were two things that were finished. His work on earth had been accomplished and finished. And this Old Testament, Old Covenant was finished. There was a new covenant He was ushering in. I don't know if I've said how much I want to see myself and people not carrying stuff. I want to see the pastoral team here. I want to see us free and living in the fullness of everything that He had. I want, if there's a barrier in your heart right now, I'm not going to call you up to the front. I'm not going to do that. I want you to just do some business with God right now. Say, Holy Spirit, you know that there's this barrier, this stuff in my heart still. You promised that these barriers would be broken down. You promised, Lord God, that You would take these down. Thank You for the work of the cross. Thank You today is Palm Sunday. We remember as Jesus came in and the crowds cried, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Hosanna, Hosanna. Jesus came to break down the barriers in your life. The disappointments, the unfulfilled expectation, difficult relationships, the stuff that you know the what. That stuff. I'm just going to ask the team, Jess, if you just lead us. And I'd like you just to just do business with God. Holy Spirit, will you come this morning? We thank you for your presence, Lord. That you would touch the hearts of the people here this morning. Touch my heart, Lord God. Start with me, Jesus. Holy Spirit, let your power fall. Let your glory come. Thank you, Jesus.